Good morning. Today's New Testament reading is James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Let us pray. O gracious and generous God, we know you supply your wisdom to us through your word. We ask that you open our hearts to absorb the wisdom and instruction you have given to all who put their trust in you. Speak to us as we read your word. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many years ago now, this is when I was serving a church in California as an associate pastor. First thing on Good Friday morning, the Friday before Easter, I was making my way into the office, and as I got to the church parking lot and out onto the church grounds to make my way to the office, and then the church had really beautiful grounds. I noticed that there was, on the lawn, not far out in front of the office, there was a great mound that had never been there before. And I don't mean like a mound of dirt. I mean that the grass was mounded up in like a little miniature hill, about 3 feet high and about 10 feet in diameter. I thought, that's really strange. So I walked over to it, and I stepped on it with my foot, and it sloshed like a waterbed. The water main coming in from the street had ruptured during the night and was coming out under such pressure that it had literally lifted the turf off of the ground. Okay. Now, so we really quick called the building and grounds guys, and they quickly deduced that they were in over their heads and called out a plumber. And discovered that the main water line coming in from the street to the church building was so completely rusted out and rotted out and corroded that the whole line needed to be replaced. And the plumber also discovered that whoever had initially hooked it up about 10 years before, the line coming in from the street was galvanized steel. And it was directly coupled to copper. Now, those of you that have ever done plumbing, you know you don't do that. It causes electrolysis that will completely rust out the steel line. There's a special coupling that you're supposed to put in there. A coupling that costs maybe $3. The bill for the, we had to get it done. Easter, we're Good Friday, right? And no water in the church for Easter Sunday. So we had to get it done. It took a backhoe and everything to dig up the whole line. $15,000. Now, that process had been going on underneath the surface, under that beautiful landscape for years. And no one knew. That's the way that sin works. And remember, we saw last week, James speaks about how temptation conceives sin in us that leads to death and destruction. It's conceived in us, and then sin is birthed out of us. The catastrophic end of that plumbing episode seemed very sudden. But it wasn't a sudden thing at all. We just didn't know what was going on beneath the surface. And truth be told, our lives are like that. But the good news that James shared with us is that God, by his word of truth, speaks life into us. We who are corroded by sin on the inside, all of us. God speaks into us his word, life-giving word of truth that gives new life. And that's what we're focusing on today. Here, listen again to verses 19 and 21. And this is a good day, by the way, if you've got your Bible, keep it open to James chapter 1. And if you're not in the habit of bringing a Bible from home, good idea to get in the habit. Here, worshiping in this context, we don't have pew Bibles that you can reach for. So bring your own Bible from home. As I told you before, I want people to drive by as we're making our way in, and they're going to think we're Baptists. They're going to see so many Bibles. Verses 19 and 21, James 1, 19 and 21. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. And he's talking about hearing the word of God. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, James is now switching the image. Earlier he was talking about sin conceiving in us and giving birth to death. Now he's going to talk about the word being an implanted seed. And he's really echoing his brother here, isn't he? Jesus often used the image of the gospel being a seed that's planted in our lives. And in fact, you may remember, it's one of the most well-known parables of Jesus. Jesus said, a sower went out to sow, and the seed fell, some of it on the hard path, some of it in the gravel, some of it among the weeds, and some on good soil. And the same here in James, when he says God implants this seed of his word in our lives. The seed, God's word, is full of life. It will produce life in us if the soil is prepared. If the weeds are pulled and the rocks are removed. James says, put away. And it's in this context, James says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Get that stuff out of your life so that the seed of the word can grow. You may have followed in the news this past week. There is a new park in the chain of parks. They're all named after prominent women in Boise's history, beginning with Julia Davis, and the newest one is going to be Esther Simplot, right? Park, and it's under construction right now. And as they were doing some excavating to prepare the landscape, you saw what they discovered. They dug up an old garbage dump of construction debris, which was not apparently at one time was not uncommon along the river. And they dug up all of this debris and soil that's been contaminated with oil, and it has to be removed. Because nothing will grow there unless they get the garbage out. That's what James is saying. God has planted the seed of his word in you, but it won't grow in just any soil. Put away all filthiness and wickedness. And the poison that seems to concern James the most here is a pattern of impatient arrogance. You know, we're sort of trained to be on the run all the time. To allow the Word of God to penetrate our lives, there's no substitute for time and patience and to devote ourselves to it. James warns against a pattern of impatient arrogance. In verse 19, he says, be quick. There's some things to be quick about and then some things to be slow about. Be quick to hear, to listen. And he's talking about listening to the Word of God. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Words have power, both to give life. God's Word gives life, and our words can be very destructive. So be quick to listen to God's Word, slow to speak, slow to anger. Be quick to listen. And I really think in this context, quick means eager. After all, you can't listen rapidly. So it means be eager to hear the Word of God. God speaks in His Word, but the impatient and the arrogant will never hear Him. I've had people tell me, I've had unbelievers tell me, you know, I tried to read that book and it's just nonsense. Well, you bring that attitude to it, you won't hear. When you open your Bible, pray in anticipation that God will speak. Slow down enough to let God's Word penetrate deep. Reflect on the Word. Wrestle with the Word. Now, then he says, be slow to speak. I can probably count on one hand the number of times in my life I have regretted keeping my mouth shut. Right? I've often regretted opening it. I've rarely regretted keeping it shut. I learned from one of my favorite preachers, Earl Palmer, likes to say that second thoughts are always better than first thoughts. Sometimes I just need to keep my mouth closed until the second thought comes along. And the first one just needs to stay with me. Being slow to speak is much more likely to produce words that bless, words that build up, words that encourage. Now, the modern world, and particularly advertising, trains us to act on impulse. And it's just simply true that much of the time, we would rather, well, sometimes being heard is more important to us than having something worthwhile to say. We as Christians need to learn to speak the truth in love. And that means to be slow to speak. Slow to anger, he goes on. Now notice he does not say we should never be angry. He says be slow to anger. Because the anger of man, and by implication the quick anger, the reactive anger of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. Let me give you an example of being slow to anger in a good way. Jesus got angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple, right? And you may remember the sequence of events. That was on Monday of Holy Week. The day before, Jesus had entered Jerusalem in triumph, riding on the donkey, people shouting Hosanna, waving their palm branches. And it's Mark's gospel tells us that as that day came to a close, Jesus went to the temple, looked around, and then withdrew and went back, took his disciples, and they went back outside of town to the small town of Bethany, just outside the walls of Jerusalem. They went back to Bethany to spend the night. He slept on it for the night. and then went back to Jerusalem the next morning and did something that was absolutely not an impulse. It was calculated and planned. The Gospel of John says he made the whip of cords himself. That took some time too. It was anger, but it was measured, and it was an appropriate response to sin and people being abused, oppressed by an abusive system. Now here again, I have never regretted being slow to anger. But I've often regretted being quick to it. Verses 22 through 25. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I told you a couple of weeks ago, James is the disciple from Missouri. He says, "Show me." You're a believer. You say you love the Word of God. Show me. Let it show in your life. The Word of God is not a collection of greeting card platitudes to make us feel better. In fact, the Bible describes itself this way. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the deepest place in us. God uses it to convict us, to shape us, to set us on the right path, to show us the way that pleases God. And we're always going to fall short. But James says, don't be like the person who looks in the mirror and then just walks away unchanged. Because let's say I look in the mirror and I see a big old giant wart growing out of the end of my nose. And I think to myself, the first time I see that wart, you know, I really ought to do something about that. I really ought to go to the dermatologist and get that burned off. But then I think, oh, that's going to hurt. I'll wait till next week. And I just keep looking in that mirror, and pretty soon I don't even see the wart. What James is saying is that the Word of God works that way. That if I go to the Word, and it exposes me and would redirect my life in a new direction, if I ignore it, the next time I go back, I'm not even going to see it at all. Because my conscience will just go to sleep. Don't be, says James, like the person who just looks in a mirror and then walks away. He's comparing the Word of God to a mirror that shows us who we really are. There's a wonderful missionary story told by an old missionary about the woman in an African village who has learned to read, and she sits every day in the village reading her Bible. And one of her fellow villagers said, "Look, you have the gift of reading, and there's so many books you could read. Why do you just read that one book?" And she said, "Well, there's lots of books that I can read. This is the only book that reads me." Don't be, says James, like the guy who looks in the mirror and then just walks away. But instead, look into the law, God's holy, life-giving law. And it gives us life. God's Word gives us life. And ultimately, that Word points us to Jesus, who gives us life. Getting back to my initial illustration, we all have a main supply line in our hearts and lives that is corroded by sin. And it will fail unless God's Word in Jesus Christ, the living Word, is at work in you to give new life, to make new and whole. So I'm going to leave you with the word of God through Moses. Choose. It's up to us to choose. The Lord said through Moses, I set before you today life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life, that you may live long in the land that I'm going to give you. Let's bow together for prayer. Mighty Father, our lives are corroded by sin, but in your great mercy, you've not left us in that state, in that condition. But you've come to us, you've revealed your word, most of all, your living word, Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. Thank you for the new life that only he can give. I pray for each one here. Give us grace to turn to you in faith and hope, to receive that life-giving word. Give us patience every day to be students of your word, to take time every day to be in your word, and then not walk away like someone who sees their reflection in a mirror and then just turns away, but to let your book read us and make us new. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.